B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Chof Tes. We're going to start three lines from the top of the Amud. We'll remember that on Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis, we learned about a machlekes in the Mishnah between Rebbe Elezer and Rebbe Akiva regarding psilas habeget shekiflo. There was a piece of material, a garment that he folded to make into a wick. V'loy hiv havo, but he has not singed it. Then there are two Manda Omrim, and there are two halachas. Rebbe Elezer says that in Hilchas Tuma Tmeyohi and in Hilchas Hadlokas Neir Shabbos Ein Madlikin Bo, Rebbe Akiva says that in Hilchas Tuma Tohirohi and in Hilchas Hadlokas Neir Shabbos Madlikin Bo. And we saw in Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis, Rav Ada Bar Ava had one explanation regarding these halachas in the Mishnah. Now we're going to see a second explanation, and towards the end of our Amud we're going to see a third. Says the Gemara, Rava Omar Hainu Tama de Rebbe Eliezer. The reason that Rebbe Eliezer says in the Mishnah that Tmeohi Ein Madlikin Bo, the reason that Ein Madlikin Bo is Lefi Ein Madlikin Bepsilo She'eino Muchureches, because one is not allowed to light Shabbos candles unless the wick has previously been charred, and since this wick has not been charred, has not been singed before, therefore it will not light nicely and should not be used to light Shabbos candles. V'loi b'smartutin, nor should one use rags she'einon mechurachin, that are not being charred, because it doesn't light nicely. And then it's talking about every Erev Shabbos, not only Erev Shabbos that coincides with Yontov, as we saw with Rav Ada Bar Ava. Elo hod etoni Rav Yosef, gimel al gimel mutzun tzomo islamai hilchasa. We saw before that there's a brisa regarding this Mishnah, that the Mishnah is talking about if it's exactly three etzbois by three etzbois, and according to what we are learning now, what's the difference how big it is if the wick has not been charred, you should not use it. Says the Gemara, le'inyon tuma. Don't forget there's a second halacha they're arguing about. Regarding that second halacha, it's only applicable if it's exactly 3x3 etzbois. Ditnan, gimel al gimel she'omru. We learnt in the Mishnah that the gimel etzbois by gimel etzbois that makes a piece of material ro'i lekabel tuma, chutz min ha'melel. It's besides for the hem. One will typically sew over, fold over and sew down the hem of a piece of material. And it's got to be 3 etzbois by 3 etzbois after the hem has been sewed down, that what's left is that size. Divi Reb Shimon, v'chachomim oimrim gimel al gimel mechuvonois, and the chachomim say that even if it's gimel al gimel etzbois precisely, and it's going to be less after you turn in the hems, nonetheless it's choshev enough piece of material and it's ro'i lekabel tuma. And that's the machlekes in our Mishnah. In talking about such a garment that was exactly 3x3, and after the hem was turned in, it was less than 3x3. Rebbe Eliezer says that Tomeohi, it's still Tomei like the Chachomim in that Mishnah, and Rebbe Akiva say Toherohi like Rebbe Shimon in the Mishnah, that you need to have Gimel al Gimel besides for the Melel. But if the Gimel al Gimel includes the hem, then it is Toher, it's not big enough. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rebbe Yehuda Omar Rav. Mesikin bekelim ve'ein mesikin b'shivrei kelim. We already saw this concept earlier, that one is allowed to put kelim, vessels, utensils, into a fire to burn them, but shivrei kelim, which means kelim that got broken on Shabbos and Yontov, they are mukta, and you're not allowed to move them, and you're not, on Shabbos in any case we don't burn, but on Yontov you're not allowed to burn them in a fire. Divi Rebbe Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Shimon Matir, Rebbe Shimon, who does not hold that there's an issa of mukta, and therefore he says that even these shivrei kelim, the broken segments of what was a kli, when Yontov came in, you're allowed to burn them. Mesikin bitmorin, you are allowed to put dates into a fire in the same way as you're allowed to touch them and move them, because they're foods, you're allowed to also put them in the fire. Ochlon, if you ate the dates, Ein masikin begarinehem divrei Rebbe Yehuda. The pits, the stones inside those dates, you're not allowed to use them as firewood. They are noilad. Beforehand, they were part of a date. Now they are an independent pit, a stone on its own right. And therefore, you're not allowed to use it on Yom Tov. Reb Shimon Matir. Reb Shimon says noilad is mutar. Even something born new on Yom Tov is not mukta. You're allowed to use it. You're allowed to move it. So too the pits of the dates you're allowed to use. Masikin be'egoizim. You're allowed to put nuts with shells into the fire. They're food. And since you're allowed to eat them, there's no reason you shouldn't be allowed to move them and put them in a fire. Ochlon, if you ate the nuts, ein masikin beklipoisem, you're not allowed to move or throw their peels and put them into the fire, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Because the peels, till now, till you ate them, they were part of the nut. Now they're independent shivrei kelim, so to speak, and they are noilad, and therefore you're not allowed to put them in the fire, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Shimon Matir, Reb Shimon says it's mutter. Utzricha, I need to say all three halachas. Number one, the kelim. Number two, the dates. Number three, the nuts. Diyashm inon kamaisa. If it would only tell us about the kelim, bahiko omer Reb Yehuda, I may have thought only there Reb Yehuda says it's osa. Mishum dumi ikorakli v'hashter shevrakli. When Yom Tov came in, they were a fixed full utensil, and now they are shivrakli. V'havalei noilad, it was a new thing born on Yom Tov. V'osa, and it's osa. Aval tomorrow, but in the case of dates, the mi'ikora garinin, the hashta garinin. Before Yom Tov came in, they were pits of dates, and now they are pits of dates. Eim mashapir domi, I may have thought it's not called noilad and you're allowed to use them. And that's why we need to say that even here, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's osa. V'yash mi'inon garinin, and if it would only tell us about the garinim, the nut, the dates, and not tell us about the nuts, hava mina, the mi'ikora mechasyon, these pits, before and when Yom Tov came in, they were completely covered. They were completely hidden. They were just part of the date. The hashta miglin, and now they've become revealed. And that's why it's considered noilad. Aval klipe egoizim, but the shells of nuts, demi ikora miglu, the hashta miglu. They were always revealed, covering the nut. Then, eim shapir domi, I may have thought, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not considered noilad, and it's mutar. Tzricha, that's why it has to tell us all three halachas. Says the Gemara, V'hoda Rav, this halacha of Rav that says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to use the pits of dates for the fire, Lav beferish itma, he didn't say it explicitly in that many words, Ela mechlole itma, it's something we deduced from a story that happened and something that Rav said. The Rav ochal tamri, Rav was eating dates. In the weekdays, nothing to do with Yom Tov. Vashoda kashaisa, and he threw the pit lebuchya into the oven. Omele Rabichia, Rabchia, who was present at the time, said to Rav, Bar Pochsi, the son of great people, you Rav, kenegdoi biyomtiv, if such a scenario would happen on Yomtiv, also it would be asa. You not, wouldn't be allowed to throw the pit into the fire. Asks the Gemara, Kiblomine, or Yloi Kiblomine. It's very good that Reb Chiya said that to Rav. Did Rav accept that or not? Toshema will bring proof. Dechi also Rav le Bovel, when Rav came from Eretz Yisrael to Bovel, Ochal Tamra, he was eating dates on Yom Tov this time. Veshoda Kashaisa Lechiusa. And he threw the pits to his animals for them to eat them. My love, can we not take it for granted? But parasiyasa, we're talking about Persian dates. And the Persian dates, when you eat them, the food, the date part, the fruit part, comes off entirely from the pit. So the pit is now left only pit with no food on it. So this is the halacha of the pit that is no longer a date. It's now just a pit. It's noilad. And he, nonetheless, he threw it to his animals. So we see v'loi kibla. He did not accept what Rav Chiya told him. Says the Gemara loi. No, you can't prove that. Ba'ar mi'osa. He's talking about dates from ar mi'osa. And those dates, even when you eat the fruit off them, the some of the fruit stays stuck to the pit. And therefore, you're allowed to move the pit. The pit is not called noilad, it's not mukta, because of the food on the pit. In the same way as you're allowed to move the date before you ate it, you're allowed to move this. And since there's still some food on it, which means you're allowed to move it to eat it, for the same token, you can throw it to the animals. Hoil v'chozi agav imayhu. Since you're allowed to move this pit because of the fruit, imayhu is their fruit that's still stuck, it's still attached to the pit, therefore it's not called noilad, and therefore it's not really a proof that Rav did not accept what Reb Chiya told him. Continues the Gemara. Omale Reb Shmuel bar Barchono l'Rav Yosef. L'Rabbi Yehuda de Omar Masikin Bekelim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you are allowed to make a fire on Yontav and burn kelim in it, whole kelim, vein masikin b'shivrei kelim, you're just not allowed to burn shivrei kelim because they are noilad, kiven de idlik bei purta, since as soon as you put the kelim into the fire and they start burning a little bit, havule shivrei kelim, the rest of the kli now has the status of shivrei kelim. And when you stoke around the fire with these kelim in, you're going to be stoking around kelim that have now become shivrei kelim. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to move, you're not allowed to stoke around shivrei kelim. Answers the Gemara, Do'ovad k'Rav Masna. He did like Rav Masna, Do'omar Rav Masna Omarav, Eitzim shenoshru min hadekel. Branches that fell off the tree, Latanur, straight into an oven, biyomtev on yomtev, and it's noilad. Marbe eitzim muchonim, you're allowed to add to the flame, so there should be more logs and firewood that are not noilad, that were prepared before yomtev, into the fire, more than there are from of these twigs and branches that are noilad. Umasikon, and since most of the wood is not noilad, you're allowed to make the fire and stoke it altogether. So to here, it's only mutter to burn and to stoke around a fire that you started with whole kelim, providing that there's other wood material, burning material, that is more than this kli that became a shever kli after it started getting burnt. Continues the Gemara. And now we're going to have the third explanation to our Mishnah, the Machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, regarding psilas habeged shekiflo v'loy hivavo. Rav Hamnuna Omar hocha bepochois mishloisho al shloisho askinon. We're talking here about a piece of material, this beged shekiflo, this cloth, the material that he used, he folded to become a wick, was less than 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim. We know that a piece of material of 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim is called a choshev, a respectable piece of material. Even the rich people would not throw it out, and therefore it definitely has the halachas of a beged. Of a cloth, it can become tomei. If it's less than 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim, then it's only tomei under some circumstances and in some situations. And we're talking here about such a type of material that is not 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim. Umikulei matlunios shonu kan. We're talking about the unimportant, the inferior types of rags, and there are certain halachas we're about to see about these inferior type of rags, when they are mekabel tuma, and when they lose their title, their status of a beged, and they no longer are mekabel tuma. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah are consistent with their own opinion elsewhere. Ditnan we learnt in the Mishnah in Maseches Kelim. Pochois mishloisha al shloisha. If a piece of material is less than 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim, shehit kinoi lepkak, you designated it, you're using it as a plug, lefakek boy esamerchat, to plug up the bathhouse, ulunayr boy esakadera, or to use it to hold a hot handle of a pot, ulukaneach boy esarechaim, or to dust away the dust from the millstones so that the dust should not get mixed into the flour. And all these, it is a inferior type of material, and it's been designated for a relatively inferior type of work. And the halacha is like this: bein min hamuchon, bein she'ein min hamuchon, tomei. And we'll soon see what muchon and not muchon means. But muchon means that if it's been prepared, if it's been set aside, and my setting it aside means that I value this material, then even though it's smaller, it's not 3 by 3 tfachim, and I'm using it for an inferior type of work, nonetheless, since I set it aside, I give it chashivos, it's still called a kli. Einay min hamuchon means I have not set it aside, I have not put it away specially and designated it for this work, and we'll soon see that in some occasions, according to some opinions, Eino min hamuchon will render this piece of material as having lost its status of a beged. But Divrei Rabbi Eliezer holds that irrespective of whether it's mukhan or whether it's einay mukhan, it does not lose the status of beged, and it can become tomei. And in our Mishnah also, Rabbi Eliezer says, tomei, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says, bein min hamukhan, bein sheloi min hamukhan, tohir. Rabbi Yeshua says that since it is a small piece of material, it is more than 3x3 etzbois, but it's less than 3x3 tfochim, and since it's been designated for inferior type of work, even if it's min hamukhan, which we'll soon see what that means, nonetheless it loses its status of beged and is tohir. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva's got a type of compromise. Min hamukhan tomei, if you've designated it, you've set it aside for to be used, then it still retains the status of a beged and is tomei. But if it's not been put aside, tohir, then it's tohir. Hakol moedim, all three opinions hold that zorkei le'ashpo, if you take this piece of material that's less than 3x3 tvachim and you throw it into the dustbin, into the garbage, then divrei hakol tohir, the fact that it's so small and invaluable, coupled with the fact that the owners have thrown it out, that means it's lost its status of any chashivos, any value, and it's now tohir. Hinichoi bekufsa, if you take this piece of material and you put it away in the cupboard, in the chest, and you fold it up and you like keep it all choshev, divrei hakol tomei, everybody agrees that you've shown that you want this to be choshev, you respect this as a piece of material, as a garment, and therefore it retains its status of beged and can become tomei. What's the machlekes between Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Akiva? If you hung up this material on a peg, or you didn't throw it out, but you didn't put it away, you didn't even hang it up, you just put it behind the door, you left it someplace ready to be used. Rabbi Eliezer says, and don't forget we're talking here of the four levels. There's Ashpa that everybody says is Tohir, loses the Shem Beged. There's Kufsa that everyone says is a Beged. And we're talking about here Mogoid and Achiri Adeles, which are in between. So Rabbi Eliezer Sovar, Midaloi Zorkei Ba'ashpa Daitei Lavei. Rabbi Eliezer says, since you did not throw it out, it means you want to keep it, your mind is on it, and you intend to use it, and it's still a Beged. So when Rabbi Eliezer says, Bein B'muchon, Bein She'einem Min HaMuchon, Tomei, what does that mean? Umay Korilei She'loi Min HaMuchon, you just said now that only the dustbin, the Ashpa is Loi Min HaMuchon. He says, no, Ashpa is extremely Loi Min HaMuchon. Everybody agrees that it loses the title of Beged. Here, Muchon and Shloim Min HaMuchon means the Legabe Kufsa Loi Muchon Hu. So that's what it means. Bein Muchon, Bein Shloim Min HaMuchon, irrespective of whether it's Muchon, which means that it's hanging on the hook, Bein that it's Shloim Min HaMuchon. And we just have to understand now, what does it mean when Rabbi Eliezer said Bein Min HaMuchon, Bein Shloim Min HaMuchon, that it's still called a Beged? What does that mean? Shloim Min HaMuchon is talking about Ashpa. Ashpa loses its Shem Beged. Rabbi Eliezer says that it remains Tomei, even Shloim Min HaMuchon. So he says as follows. Muchon means when it's in the Kufsa. That's called Min HaMuchon. Shloim Min HaMuchon is talking about when it's B'mogoid or Me'achir Adeles. And they're both called Loim Min HaMuchon. Why are they called Loim Min HaMuchon? You didn't put them in the Ashpa. If you put it in a chest in the cupboard, then it's called minamuchon. And shloim minamuchon is not so far removed like putting in the ashpa. It's just less muchon, which means mogoid and achiri adeles. And even there, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it retains the status of a beged and is tomei. Rabbi Yeshua Sova, Rabbi Yeshua holds that bein minamuchon and bein shloim minamuchon, it loses the title of beged, and muchon cannot mean that you put it in the kufsa, because there he agrees, like we said before, kule alma moedim, that it is still called a beged. So what does it mean, muchon and sheloi min hamuchon? So contra Rabbi Yeshua, sheloi min hamuchon means you put it in the ashpa, and muchon means mogoid and achiri adeles, that they are both more muchon than putting it in the ashpa, but they are loy muchon enough that they lose the title of beged, and they only retain the title of beged if he puts it in a kufsa. Let's see that inside. Rabbi Yeshua sovar mid loy nichoy bekufsa. Since he did not put it in the kufsa, betule botle, it's as if in his mind he's already given up assuming that this is a respectable beged. My korile muchon, the legabe ashpa muchonu. So loy mina muchon means ashpa. Muchon just means that relative to ashpa, the mogid and achir adeles is called muchon. But they're not muchon enough to retain the status of beged, and therefore they also tohir. Rabbi Akiva makes a compromise. Tol oy b'mogoid, if it's hanging on a hook, sovak Rabbi Eliezer. He holds like Rabbi Eliezer that it's still called a beged. Be'nicha achir adeles, but if he doesn't even bother hanging it up, he just puts it behind the door, sovalok Rabbi Yeshua, he holds at that point it's lost the status of beged, and it's tohir. So coming back to our Mishnah now, if we have this psilas habeged shekiflo, that Rabbi Eliezer says tameohi and Rabbi Akiva says tohirohi, so we talk, according to Rabbi Hamnuna, we're talking here about shetoloi b'mogoid and hiniach achir adeles, and we just saw now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, both toloi b'mogoid and achir adeles is still called a beged. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer says tameohi. Rabbi Akiva says, at this point, Rabbi Akiva says that toli b'mogoid is still called a beged, is tomi. Me'achir adeles is called loy muchon and is tohir, like Rabbi Yeshua. So if so, the Mishnah would only be talking about that when it says Rabbi Akiva tohirahi, it must be talking about achir adeles and not a material that is hanging on the mogoid. But we're not yet finished. Rav Nuna is now telling us that Vahodar be Rabbi Akiva legabe Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva be'etzem was choiza, and he holds like Rabbi Yeshua that even if it's hanging on the mogoid, it loses the shame beged, and that's why tohirahi. And then the Mishnah that says Rabbi Akiva ima tohirahi is talking about both mogoid and achiri adeles. Mimai, how do you see in our Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva was choiza? Omar Rav, midiktoni psilas habeged. Since the Mishnah doesn't say psilo shel beged, a wick made of something that was formerly a cloth, it's the psilas habeged, which means that it's actually a cloth that was folded up. It wasn't part of a cloth that was made into a wick. It was a whole cloth that was turned into a wick. My toni. My irid etoni psilas habeged lisni psilo shel beged. My psilas habeged dadayin begetu. It's still considered, it's still viewed as a beged, as a cloth, when it's in this state of being making a wick. So, which of mogoid and achir adeles is still considered that it's a cloth? If it's hanging at the back of the door, it's still chashuv. It's called muchon. And even in that case, he says Tahirahi, so he must have changed his mind and followed Rabbi Yeshua. So we've explained, according to Rav Hamnuna, a third way of understanding the Machlokas in our Mishnah, but we've only explained the Machlokas regarding Tumah. We have not yet explained the Machlokas regarding lighting. Says Rashi that in this way, he's going to say the same as Rava, that Rava says the Machlokas is, are you allowed to use a non-charred wick to light Shabbos candles? The same as we saw at the beginning of Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Lo yikoiv odom shvoiferes, a person should not make a hole at the bottom of a shvoiferes, a type of reservoir, a type of container, shel beitza, which is made out of the shell of an egg. He emptied out the egg, he poured oil into the eggshell, made a little hole at the bottom, v'yimaleno shemen, he's filling it up with oil, v'yitneno al pi haner, and he will hold it above the ner, the lantern where the wick is burning from, b'shvil shetei menatefes, in order that the oil should drop out of this shvoiferes, out of this reservoir, into the lantern, and that way, even when the oil in the lantern is finished, the light will continue burning because there'll constantly be a new supply of oil dripping down from the shvoiferes. And why is this also? Because we are afraid that a person may on Shabbos want a little bit of oil, and he'll take out some oil from this reservoir, from this Shofaris Shel Beitza. Nobody would dare take out some oil from a lantern. Everybody knows that taking away oil from a candle is an issa of mechabe. It's called extinguishing because you're causing the flame to go out earlier. However, people may take out some oil from this Shofaris. And the halacha is that since the oil in this Shofaris has been designated for the lamp, for the candle, for the fire, so even removing oil from this reservoir is also included in the issa of mechabe, of extinguishing. And in order that a person should not, chas v'shalom, do that, therefore the Mishnah says you should not use such a candle on Shabbos. V'afilu hi shel cheres, even if this shofaris is not made of an eggshell, it's made of earthenware, and then somebody who puts oil into earthenware, the oil becomes not nice. A person generally would not want to take away some oil from an earthenware kli and use it for himself, to eat or to anoint himself, whatever he's going to do with it, because it's already been soaked in a earthenware kli. Nonetheless, afilu hi shel cheres, it's osa. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda says that it is mutar. Aval im chibra hayotzer mitzchila, if the potter that originally made the lantern, originally made this light, he connected the shofaris to the original base of the lamp, then it's mutar. Mipnei shehu kli echad, because everybody knows that you can't take out oil from a lamp. And since it's all connected and it was originally manufactured that way, people will know this is a lamp, we don't take any oil out, and therefore you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah. Lo yemale odom ka'ora, a person should not fill up a plate, a dish, shel shemen, with oil. V'yitneno betzad haner, and he'll put it next to an existing lamp. V'yitin roisha psilo besoicha, the part of the wick that's a light is coming out of one end of the lamp. The other part is submerged in the oil. If the end of that wick comes out of the lamp and goes into the plate, into this ka'ora that has more oil in. And that's what it means, v'yitneno betzad haneir, you're putting that dish next to the lamp, v'yitin reish ha'psila, the end, the second end of the wick, is going besoicha into that dish of oil, b'shvil shetei she'eves, so it should absorb the oil in that dish. You should not do that. Here again, somebody may take some oil from that dish, and it's an issa of mechabe, of extinguishing. Here again, Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter. He was not worried that people would take out some of the oil from the dish. Says the Gemara. Utsricha, the Mishnah needs to tell us both cases. Also the case of the Shofaris Shel Beitza, and also the case of a Shofaris made of cheres of earthenware. If the Mishnah will only tell us that you're not allowed to use a reservoir made of the shell of an egg, b'hok omer abonon, maybe only there the Chachomim said it's osa, dekiven deloy me'isa, because the shell of an egg does not make the oil repulsive. Osa listepuke mine, and therefore a person may take some of the oil for himself, that would be osa, and therefore it's not allowed to use such a lantern on Shabbos. Aval shel cheres, I may have thought that if this reservoir of oil is made of earthenware, de me'isa, that the earthenware kli makes the oil repulsive, Eima, I may have thought, moidele le Rebbe Yehuda, the Chachomim agree to Rebbe Yehuda, there's no reason to be choishesh, and it's muta. And therefore the Mishnah had to say that even there it's also. If the Mishnah would only have told us the halacha in the case of a reservoir made of earthenware, I may have thought, maybe Rabbi Yehuda only says it's muta if the reservoir is made of cheres. Aval bahi, I may have thought that in the case of a shofaris shel beitza, Eima moidelu rabbonon, they agree to the rabbonon that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the rabbonon that it will be asa. That's why we need to say both. If it would say just the two cases at the beginning of the Mishnah and would not say the din of the ka'or or the plate at the end of the Mishnah, I might have thought, Bahani ka'omar Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda only says it's muta in the case of the reservoirs, mishum deloy mifsuk, because there's no separation between the reservoir that's hovering on top of the lamp and the lamp. Aval ka'orah, But in the case of the dish, the mifsake, there's a gap between the lamp and the plate with the oil. I may have thought that people are more prone to think that one is allowed to take away some of the oil, and therefore it's easier for them to do an Avera, and therefore even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's Asa. And that's why we have to say the last case of the Mishnah as well. And if it would only say the last case of the Ka'ara, I may have thought, maybe the Rabbonon only say it's Asa in the case of the Ka'ara, where you've got a gap between the lamp and the dish, and therefore people are more prone to make a mistake, and therefore the Chachamim made a gzera. Aval bahani tarati, but in the two reservoirs, where the reservoirs are hovering right over the lamp, and there's no separation between them, maybe they would agree to Rabbi Yehuda that it's muta. Tzricha, that's why the Mishnah has to tell us all three cases, to know that in all three cases, according to the Chachamim, it's Asa, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah that if the one that made, the potter that made this lamp, connected this reservoir to the lamp, and it's now one piece, then it's muta. Everybody knows that you're not allowed to take any oil out of a lamp or any part of a lamp on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learnt in a Braisa, Im Chibra, if the owner, the one that bought the lamp, he was the one that connected this reservoir to the lamp, either besid with plaster or becharosis or with clay, muta. It's also allowed to use it on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, v'anan yoytzertnan. Did we not say in the Mishnah that it's only muta if it was originally made this way and the potter was the one that connected them? Says the Gemara, my Yotzer, when the Mishnah says that the Yotzer, the potter, did it, it doesn't mean that he himself has to have done it. It has to be Ke'en Yotzer. It has to be attached as if the potter would have connected them. Continues the Gemara, Tanya, we saw in the Braisa, Amar Bihuda, Pamachas Shivteinu Ba'aliyah Space Nitze, we were once sitting in the upper chambers in the attic of the home of Nitze, Belud, in a place called Lud. And they brought us such a type of reservoir of oil in the shell of an egg. We filled it up with oil. And we made a little hole at the bottom of it. And we put it on top of the mouth of the lamp. And Reb Tarfon and the other elders were there. They saw us doing this. They didn't tell us you're not allowed to do that. Omruloi, they said to him, that's not a proof that it's muta, Mishom Raya, Shani Beis Nidze, there's a reason him. Those that were in the Aliyos, in the attics of Beis Nidze, there was a reason. There were people who were very, very particular with every little detail of halacha. They were careful not to, by mistake, do any averus, and therefore there was no risk of them taking any oil from it, and therefore they were allowed to use such a lamp on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Ovin Tzifura, oven from Tzipoira, Gorar Safsala, he was dragging a bench, Ba'aliyasa de Shisha, in an attic, in an upper chamber, that whose floor was marble. Le'ela mi Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elazar, and he did this in front of Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elazar. Omarli, so Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elazar said, Ishtuki lecha, if I'm going to be silent and not say anything to you, in the same way as Reb Tarfon and the other elders didn't say anything to Reb Yehuda when he was using a lamp that we mentioned a minute ago on Shabbos, nafik minei churva, then there's going to be a churban, destruction, and people are going to come and do averus. Gezeira aliyasa deshisha, we make a gezeira and we do not let you drag a heavy bench along the floor, even if the floor is marble and there's no risk of making any ditches in it. It's osa otu aliyasa de alma, because in other places when you drag along the floor, and the floors typically had earth on it, and when you drag a heavy bench along an earth floor, you're making a ditch, and this is osa on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Resh Knishta, the Gabai of Beis HaKnesses, the Shul, the Botzra, a place of Botzra, Gorar Safsala, he was dragging a bench on an earthen floor, Le'elom Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabba, in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabba, Omalei, Kaman. He said to him, Rabbi Yirmi Rabba said to the Resh Kanishta, who are you following that allows you to do this? Kaman, who holds this way? He answered back, Rab Shimon. Like Rab Shimon, we know that Rab Shimon holds that a davar she'einu misgaven muta. Since I don't want the ditch, I don't need the ditch, I don't have an intentions of creating a ditch, it's muta. Eimer da'omer Rab Shimon, says Rabbi Yirmi Rabba, when did Rabbi Shimon say that it's muta by davar she'einu misgaven b'gdolim, only with big heavy benches or other types of table chairs, d'lo efshar, because it's not possible to lift them up. So Rabbi Shimon said, you can't lift it up, you can drag it, and even though you're making a ditch, you're making a groove, it doesn't matter, it's einu misgaven, it's not your intention. But b'ktanim, but when you've got a very light chairs and benches that you can easily lift up, mi omer, did Rabbi Shimon say even then that it was muta? Upligi de'ula. And he's arguing with Ula. De'oma Ula. And Rabbi Yirmi Rabba argued with Ula. Ula held, machleikus, the whole machleikus between Rabbi Shimon, who says that davar she'einu miskaven is osur, is muta, sorry. And Rabbi Yehuda says davar she'einu miskaven is osur, is only biktanim, is with small chairs and benches, where it's, you could lift it up. So Rabbi Yehuda says you have, it's also to drag them, and Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter to drag them. Aval b'gdolim, but if it's a big heavy bench or chair or table and you cannot lift it, divrei hakol mutter. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's mutter. Even though Rabbi Yehuda says a davar she'eino miskaven is osur, he agrees that if it's loy efshar v'loy kol miskaven, not only do you not have intentions of doing it, but you do not have any way of doing it any other way, then Rabbi Yehuda agrees it's muta. So it's not like we saw before that even though it's a heavy bench, it's only muta according to Rabbi Shimon. Says the Gemara, Mosi Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef is asking a question now. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Rabbi Shimon holds, we've just mentioned him, Goyrir Odom Mito Kisei Vesafse, a person is allowed to drag a bed that would typically be considered a big kli that you cannot lift, Kisei, a chair that would typically be small and light, the safsol and a bench, as long as your intentions is not to make a ditch, then according to Rabbi Shimon, it's muta, it's a davar she'einu miskaven. Ktoni gdolim. So in that same quote that Rav Yosef just mentioned, in that brisa, it speaks about a bed, which is big, uktoni ktanim, and it speaks about a chair, which is small, and nonetheless, in both of them, Rabbi Shimon says it's muta. Kasha letarvayu. And this is a kasha also on Ula and also on Rav Yirmi Rabba. From the fact that in this brisa, Rabbi Shimon says it's muta, both with big kelim and small kelim, and we know from elsewhere that Rabbi Yehuda argues with both cases in this brisa and says that both big kelim and small kelim are osur. So you see, not like Rabbi Yirmi Rabba, who says that Rabbi Shimon says by small kelim it's osur, and not like Ula, who says that by big kelim, Rabbi Yehuda says it's muta. Says the Gemara, Ula mataris letamei. Ula will have a good answer for you. Rav Yirmi Rabba mataris letamei. And Rav Yirmi Rabba will have a good teretz for you. Ula mataris letamei. How will Ula answer? Mito dumi de kisei. When it speaks here in this brisa, mito, it doesn't mean a big kli, it means a small kli. So the whole brisa is talking about small kelim, that Rabbi Shimon says it's muta, and only there Rabbi Yehuda argues, but with big kelim, everybody agrees, it's muta. Rav Yirmi Rabba mataretz letamei. How will Rav Yirmi Rabba answer this question? He'll say that kisei dumya de mito. In the same way as mito is a big kli, so to the kisei, the chair, is a big chair that he cannot lift on his own. And therefore, only when it's a big chair, there Rabbi Shimon says it's muta, Rabbi Yehuda says it's osa. But in the event that it would be small, both would agree that it's osa, and that's what, like Rav Yirmi Rabba. Continues the Gemara, Masiv Rabba. Rabba's asking a question. Moichrei ksus, the sellers of garments, moichrin kadarkon, they are allowed to be normal sellers, and the typical custom of sellers was that in order to advertise what he's selling, he would put on, he would don the clothes that he's trying to sell, even though they carried kilayim, even though there was kilayim in them. It was muta. Ubevat shelo yiskavin b'chamam b'pnei hachamam b'gshomim b'pnei hagshomim. As long as you don't intend to have pleasure and benefit from the fact that you're wearing these clothes. That means in the summer, you're not using them to protect you from the heat, and in the winter, you're not using them to protect you from the rain. If you want to have hanor from them, pleasure from them, you're not allowed to have pleasure from clothes that have kilayim. But as long as you're not intending to have pleasure from the kilayim, it's mutter. Vatznuin, however, the people that were much more careful not to do anything that even looks like an aveira or could be mistaken for an aveira, they would mafshilin b'makol l'achareim. They also wanted to advertise their wares, but instead of wearing the clothes, they would just hang the clothes on a type of a hanger, on a type of a stick, and hold it behind them as if they're wearing it, and that way they're not actually wearing the kilayim clothes. V'hohocha. And in this case, de'efsher lemevet kitznuin. Anybody can do like the tznuim. You don't have to wear it. So it's all considered like small kalim, like dragging a light chair or a light bed that we mentioned before. And you see here that if it's einoy miskavin, it's mutter. So you see that Reb Shimon says it's mutter, even with small kalim. And that's what the Gemara says, d'chi ketanim domi. These clothes are similar to the small chairs and tables. V'chiloy miskavin shori Reb Shimon lekatchila. And you see that as long as you do not have intentions to do the avera, Reb Shimon says it's mutar lekatchila. And this is not like Reb Yirmiyah Rabba. Says the Gemara, tuvta Reb Yirmiyah Rabba, tuvta. Indeed, this is a question that's not answerable against Reb Yirmiyah Rabba. And Emir Tashem, in our next year, we'll learn the next Mishnah.